Now going to read the word of God, which I'll be bringing to you after we've sung the next hymn. And our reading, our Bible reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, and we read the whole of that chapter. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples, not long before he was crucified. Timeless and wonderful words of exhortation, which we'll be looking at shortly. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. For as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. For I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law: they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Well, may God bless to us that lovely portion of his word as we consider it in a moment. Well, as I said, the message I want to bring to you this morning is, I do give titles to my sermons sometimes, is the God of fruitfulness. The God of fruitfulness. When the Russians first put a man into space, that was in the 60s, I think, when the space race began. It's been estimated that 543 astronauts, 543, that's the figure to date, have had the privilege of seeing the Earth in a way that no other living person has seen it. Must have been very wonderful. We've seen many pictures of it, I'm sure. You've seen it in magazines, in geographical magazines and the like. But that would be far different from viewing it through a satellite window and seeing the Earth in its entirety. I understand that the effect of seeing the Earth from space has had a profound effect upon many of those astronauts. Not all, of course, have been influenced in the same way, but I understand that through seeing the Earth that it has led some of the astronauts eventually to come to faith in Christ because of the spectacle of it. And I was reading up about this, and they gave it a name called the overview effect. And all the astronauts claim to have this peculiar effect of seeing the Earth in this really wonderful way, which moved them in quite a profound way. What made the impression on those astronauts was not just the beauty of our planet when you look at it from space, but also its fragility. They said sensed a sense of fragility as well as beauty. And also they sensed this strange feeling of connection they felt with it, even from the distance of space. It was almost like looking at a beautiful gem set in the firmament of heaven, not just a lifeless, drab piece of rock like the other planets, but full of life and full of this fragile beauty. See, what makes the world what it is, the beauty of it, which we sung in our first hymn, is because God created it. And God created this, the universe and the earth and man and animals, etc., in 6 24-hour days. He created the heavens and the earth. And we read in Genesis that God looked upon his creation and he saw that it was good. God was pleased with his creative skill and with his awesome handiwork. But you know, even the vast expanse of space with its multiplicity of stars and galaxy has a beauty and a grandeur which is also inspiring, which we look on a clear night and see the heavens and the stars, the myriads of stars, millions and millions of galaxies, which goes beyond our human understanding. And like it says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The glory of creation, the glory of the physical universe, the cosmos, preaches to people of every tribe and nation. And Paul puts it in Romans, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their words unto the ends of the earth. Creation preaching the awesome glory and beauty of God. What a God we worship. But when we examine all that God did when he created the earth as our habitation, one word constantly appears in the process of creation, and indeed throughout the scriptures, and that is the word fruitfulness. You see, God's creation is dynamic. It's full of life. All the living creatures that God made were to be fruitful and to multiply themselves. That is the fish, the animals, plants, and human beings. You see, creation is not static. It is alive. It's moving. It's growing. It has this dynamism. Even though the grass withers and the flower fades, even out of death, God creates life. Jesus mentioned, he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but then it brings forth fruit, etc. Out of death, God brings life. Such is our God. And we know, of course, it doesn't need me to tell you this, that it's through the fruitfulness of the earth that we survive. If the earth did not bring forth living vegetation, each after its kind, we would quickly die. God promised to Noah, when he destroyed the earth during the flood, that after the flood, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, cold and heat would not cease. And God has been faithful to his word. God has always given harvest time so that we can survive on this planet. The earth would always bring forth food to feed its inhabitants. And that's what we're looking at here. This wonderful display of God's fruitfulness. We are dependent upon God, of course, to provide the sunshine and the rain in the right proportions to make the crops grow, in order that we will be physically sustained and nourished. And we are certainly, particularly as Christian people, not to take these benefits for granted, as with all God's blessings, in whatever form he sends them. God sends these blessings, and we should thank him continually for his love and grace. But I want to talk about fruitfulness. What is fruitfulness? Well, fruitfulness means being productive. It means implying abundance, fertility, success, and also profitability. And we must be guided by God's demand upon each one of us here this morning. Those demands are that we too, as Christian believers, should be fruitful. And our fruitfulness as Christian believers depends upon the extent that we ourselves are connected to Jesus, to God, and are in a living relationship with him. We cannot be fruitful unless we are, each one of us here today, in a living relationship with him. We read in this 15th chapter here that he is the vine and we are the branches, and we derive our life from him. Anything that is detached from God withers and dies, because God is the giver of life in every aspect of his creation. You know, I suppose it would be possible for someone to take a seed and to examine the chemical constituents of it, such as nitrogen, hydrogen, calcium, or whatever constitutes a seed. And I guess maybe a scientist could probably make one in the laboratory. I guess that's possible now with modern science. But you know, you could make the physical constituents maybe, but there's one thing you can't do, and that put the life in it. Only God can do that. We can do many things biologically and through medical science today, but we cannot give that seed life. And when you look at a pansy and you think, what a miracle that a flower comes up like that. You know, when I was a choir boy at Combe Parish Church, I was putting my cassock and surplice on one day, and the minister, he said, come on, I want to show you something, and he showed me a daffodil. And I've always remembered this, and he said, I want you to look at that, Eric, he said, and remember one thing. I said, what's that? He says, man can't make one of those. And you know, I never forgot it, and it's something that stayed with me. We cannot make things of such beauty. It's God that gives life. And we ourselves, if we are to be fruitful in our Christian life, we must stay connected continually to the source of life, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Without God, we can do nothing. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27, it says there, "And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. And this pronouncement after creating man is recorded again in Genesis 1:28, and it says this, "And God blessed them." Notice that word blessed. It was the blessing of God upon them. "And he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth." And so God intended fruitfulness. You know, if you go back into the Old Testament, in Old Testament days, of course, they didn't have the scientific advances that we have today, and people lived closer to the land than we do. We become very urbanized after the Industrial Revolution. But in the Old Testament, a man or families, individuals, were said to be blessed when God multiplied their flocks, their sheep, their cows, their crops, etc., signified the blessing of God. And not only that, when women gave birth to children, that's why in the book of Samuel, Hannah, because she was barren, was criticized by others. It was a sign of God's blessing not being upon her, not being fertile. God did eventually gave her a wonderful son called Samuel. But in the Old Testament, fruitfulness and blessing in every aspect of life was a sign of God's blessing upon the people. And when they turned away from them, God took those blessings from them. There was droughts and various things. So even in the Old Testament, fruitfulness was a sign of the blessing of God upon the people. And we, you and I, are, as Christian believers, are appointed to be fruitful in our Christian lives. And our fruitfulness is rooted in God's intention that we should be fruitful. And he made pronouncements to this end in Genesis, as we read, regarding everything that he created. And this is the desire of God for each one of us here this morning, that we should be spiritually fruitful. It's the desire of God for every single one of us here this morning. I hope we take that on board. These are important things. It's God's desire that you and I should be fruitful. And fruitfulness is the product of our connection with God through Jesus Christ. If we have no connection in our lives with Jesus Christ, we can never be fruitful in the way that the Bible describes it here. We must be in a living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ. And of course, fruitfulness, those of you that know something about gardening, I'm hopeless at gardening. If I put a seed in, it never comes up for me. My wife plants it, it does. But fruitfulness requires sometimes that you've got to trim those rose bushes back at the end of the year. And then, of course, when you trim them back, they come up more the year after. I know we had my wife was doing some pruning in our garden, and she was telling me, she said, "I think I've killed that bush." She said, "I've cut it so far back that I don't think it'll come up next year." And I was inclined to agree with her. I said, "My, you've scalped that." And sure enough, next year, up it came, fruitful as ever. So God sometimes prunes our lives. He cuts us back. He brings things into our lives sometimes that are not always pleasant. But these things bring the peaceable fruits of righteousness if we can see God in every aspect of our lives. So fruitfulness requires pruning, purging. And fruitfulness is a continuous process and must be progressive in our lives. Fruitfulness demands that we continuously abide in Christ. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. You know, we used to have a cherry tree in our garden. I didn't plant it. The people who had our house before planted this cherry tree. When we moved in, it was only quite a small tree, but we've lived there quite a few years. And as I say, it was a cherry tree, and it produced beautiful blossoms. And when it came for the time for cherries, the cherries, well, they were about that big, and the birds got most of them. And so the only thing that tree was of benefit to us was that we had to sweep all the leaves up in the autumn, and they were knee deep in leaves, and the next door neighbours got the rest of it as well. So we decided to cut it down, and it was the best thing we ever did, because it was neither use nor ornament, as we say in Lancashire. It was just a pest, and we didn't have to sweep up the leaves anymore. I'm sure our next door neighbour was very pleased as well. So because it wasn't bringing forth any quality of fruit, it wasn't serving any purpose as a fruit tree, it was absolutely useless, and so we cut it down. And so God likewise expects, when we look at our lives, that we shall be fruitful, that we won't just be a lot of showy leaves, if you will. And a fruitful person is one who is implanted and abiding in Christ in a living relationship, that is growing, increasing, abounding, flourishing, and reproducing in our lives, these spiritual fruits of righteousness. The result of fruitfulness is spiritual health and satisfaction. Nothing gives more satisfaction to me than when we know that God's blessing is upon our lives. Nothing matters more than that. It's not how much money we've got in the bank or anything like that. God has blessed you that way, that's great. But you know, the blessings of God are rich. They are outside of material things. They add a richness and a quality to our life that nothing else can. It brings health and satisfaction. And it brings also in our lives that sense of fulfillment. We feel fulfilled because we know that God is working in us and through us. And also it shows to us that we are in a partnership with God. And it is only through the indwelling Spirit that we can be fruitful. It says in the Bible that if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You cannot bring forth fruit in the way that Jesus is talking about here if the Holy Spirit is not in your life. We must have the Holy Spirit because he is the one who produces the fruit within us. Without the Spirit, we will never do anything for God. Without the Spirit, I can't stand in the pulpit. I can preach the scriptures this morning. I can stand in this pulpit and preach like an angel. But the Holy Spirit must work through that word. Without God, we can do nothing. We are powerless. We need the Holy Spirit to work through our lives, through our ministry, whether we're in the factory, whether we're in the school, or wherever we are. We need the Holy Spirit to work his work through us individually. That's what having the Spirit means. We are fruitful. Without the indwelling Spirit, I'm going to read to you now the comparison that the Apostle Paul makes in Galatians between not having the Spirit and having the Spirit in our lives. And in Galatians 5:16, I want you to look at the contrast here. In Galatians 5, it says, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Paul lists here the works of the flesh. And these are the things that we see in our society today that makes our society rotten, that causes so much unpleasantness and heartache and misery. Let me read them to you. These things should not be in the life of the Christian, if you're a Christian believer. The works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. And Paul says, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the fruits of our fleshly nature. But if we are Christians, we are given a new nature from God. But, and I like there are these buts in the scripture. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be fruitful? What do we mean when the Bible talks about spiritual fruitfulness? What is spiritual fruitfulness? Well, I believe spiritual fruitfulness implies the same thing spiritually as it does naturally speaking. You know, it's possible that you can have a glut of tomatoes, and the tomatoes, you get plenty of them, but they're not quality, they're very tiny, perhaps like those there. I'm not saying those are no good, but they might be this small. So you got plenty of them, but not really all that good. But you can have also tomatoes that are this big, you know what I mean, whoppers, and plenty of them. So fruitfulness implies two things: quality and an abundance. Those two things are connected with fruitfulness. And I believe, as Christian believers, it's our job also to witness and work for Christ so that we see people added to the kingdom of God. You and I have a great responsibility to be fruitful, to share our faith with others where we can. And if you've never done it before, let me encourage you to do it. You don't need to be a great theologian to share your faith with others. And I will say this, that if each one of us here this morning brought someone into this chapel every morning, this chapel would be full in no time, wouldn't it? We don't have to do great things. Let's try and be fruitful in quantity, but also in quality, where the love of God shines forth in our lives. And this is what the world wants to see. It wants to see evidence that what we have as Christian believers is different to what they have. You know, I do believe this. I sometimes wonder whether the reason why we have no real growth in our churches, and it could be because our lives are often no different from the people in the world. And they should be. If we are Christian believers, we should be different from the people in the world. I don't mean different in the sense where we are standoffish with people in the world, or that we live our lives in sort of some vacuum, but that we are different because we are different. And the love of God shines through in our lives. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? That you love each other. And it's love which breaks down barriers, not hatred, not dissension, not enmity, not those things with people where we're fighting each other all the time. But love is what breaks down barriers. That's what Jesus did at the cross. He displayed the greatest act of love that the world has ever seen. And that love has pulled down barriers. And we have a duty as Christian believers that the love of God should be shed abroad in our hearts. That's our Christian duty, and that's what God expects of us. And we can all do it in varying degrees. God expects us to be fruitful. You know, there was an occasion in Scripture where Jesus, just prior to his crucifixion, he was soon to face the cross. And on this, when he was, I think he was going from Bethpage to Jerusalem, and he saw a fig tree, and he was hungry, and he went to this tree to get some figs, and there was no figs on it; it was full of leaves. Now the Bible tells us the time of figs was not yet, and Jesus cursed the fig tree, and he said, "May no fruit grow on you from henceforth and forever," because it was just full of leaves. And yet the interesting thing is this, that the time of figs was not yet. So why was it unreasonable for Jesus to curse that fig tree? Why did he do it? Well, I believe he did it for this reason, to show us, to give us an example that in our Christian lives we should always be fruitful. Didn't the Lord say to his disciples on one occasion, he says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." There is always a harvest. There is always a time when we as Christians should be fruitful. Never a time when we shouldn't be. In season or out of season, our lives should be fruitful and blossoming with the love and the grace of God. And by this, Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Because you're a good preacher? Because you know your Bible from end to end? Well, that's great if you do. Because you love one another. The acid test of being a Christian is our Christian character. For that is what the love of God, that's what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. If we are connected in the vine, he brings forth those peaceable fruits of righteousness where people can see that we are different. Now we fail, of course we do. Of course we fail. There are times when that nature, that sinful nature of ours creeps up. But we should be bringing forth fruit in our lives. It's a great challenge to us, but God expects it. He is a God of fruitfulness, and if we don't do it, we are not doing what God expects us to do. And we can only accomplish this as we abide in Christ. We will display the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to close my message this morning by reading just a short passage of Scripture from the book of Revelation, just to prove my point again, that the God who we worship and who we love is a God of fruitfulness. This chapter shows us what the new creation will be like. Let me read it to you. "And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life." Remember, Adam in the Garden of Eden was forbidden to eat of the tree of life after he had sinned against God. "There was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and there need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must be shortly done." Heaven is a place of fruitfulness. The leaves of the tree, just the leaves, were for the healing of the nations. And this tree brought 12 manner of fruits, continuously fruitful. May we be fruitful. God calls us to fruitfulness. And how do we do this? By reading the Word. Do you read your Bible? Do you read it often? Do you love reading the Word? because through reading the scriptures and reading our Bibles, we grow fellowship together in, among the Lord's people. Come into the Bible studies. Do you come to the Bible studies if you can? You should do. You'll grow in grace if you study the Word of God through prayer, Christian fellowship with each other. These are the things that help us to be fruitful. And that's why the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are to meet together with God's people to encourage each other and to sustain each other at times of difficulty in our lives. We need each other to grow together and to be fruitful. And these are the things that will promote in us that spiritual life that will not only be useful to us and to others, but also to the world outside. And when the world sees that, I believe we will have a harvest of souls. Let us, by God's grace, be challenged by these things, as I am myself, of course. Maybe we'll be challenged that God calls us to be fruitful. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you." Let's keep connected with him, that we might display the love of God, and by his grace, love each other. Let the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts. Amen.